Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Dancy.
That would be a little weird. That would really be weird.
Yeah, I'm assuming you know where that one is.
I do. I think we might have actually done that one before, but yeah, I do know where that is.
Now you've ruined it.
I'm sorry.
Just up the road from you there.
It is.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Everything available in the stores, and that includes merchandise and all sorts of other cool things is available for you right there at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. If you're a business owner and you're a Mississippi State fan, we've got a deal for you that you cannot pass up. Pip Printing and Signs makes it easy for you to get great printing and to be a Bulldog Initiative business, and you don't have to spend any more money than you're already spending. It's just this simple. Call our friend Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. You want to do business with Pip Printing and Signs. 10% of whatever you give is going right to the Bulldog Initiative. It's just that simple. You become a Bulldog Initiative business, not spending any more money than you're already spending. You already spend money on printing. Spend it with the best. Get the best results with Pip Printing and Signs. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You need new gear. Dad, he needs new gear. He's been wearing that same ratty polo now for how many years? It's got the stink of Arnett on it. Get it out. Get it out of that. Get it out of the closet. Send it off and get some new gear with the state script, with the interlocking, with the M over S, whatever you want to get. Maroon and white, they've got it all at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to find the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. It's the best meal in town every time you walk in the door at Restaurant Tyler. So that's what you need to do. You need to head over to Restaurant Tyler, walk in the front door, grab a table, and grab a great meal. If you're heading there for dinner one night, I mean, that the dinner is the special occasion. You don't need a special occasion to go to Restaurant Tyler. The dinner is the special occasion. Get a great steak, get some great pasta, and of course, don't skimp on dessert. The stuffed pancake is my personal recommendation. If you want to eat the best meal in town, you've got to go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to not only learn what location is nearest to you, but to learn what they can do for your money, how they're going to work for your money, not make you work for your money. They are going to get your money taken care of. They can do that in ways that you don't expect from a small community bank. That's because they've got a lot more working for them than just their locations. They are a big time place to put your money and watch it grow. You're not just talking about a checking and savings account. You're talking about every financial service you can imagine that all the big banks can give you, but with the service the big banks would never give you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Kind of contentious today, huh? Not with me.
It's just opposing fan bases trying to prove that they don't care anything about Mississippi State while having headers of Mississippi State things in their Twitter profiles and constantly talking about Mississippi State, constantly tweeting at Mississippi State people, following everyone, listening to our shows. That just irritates me. It's, you know, I can handle the facts of the situation. I can handle all that stuff. But just completely – acting like this isn't a rivalry. This isn't, you don't care. It just annoys me.
I got to block this guy again. Going through some of your replies. This guy, he got, I guess he got knocked off of Twitter, came back. He's got to go. I can't deal with him.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Giant loser.
Yeah. You know what's funny is you do know who I'm talking about, but it could have been a few other people too.
But yeah, they're all the same.
Just make sure they got the right account in here. Michael Borky. Okay, we're good. Got him taken care of.
Richard Cross.
Yep. No, I leave Cross open. I don't want to unblock. I don't want him blocked so that I can make my known context flare videos about him. Gotta have that. All right. Let's get into football. It's time to start talking about football. Next week on this show, we will talk about the Egg Bowl. Speaking of Robbie's fun day on Twitter, our first opponent preview will be next week, and we will talk about the Egg Bowl, probably with Richard Cross now that we're thinking about it. Also, our first, you know, we remember last year we did some interviews with college football guys from around the country. Those are starting to line up. Our first one will be on tomorrow's pod with Brandon Marcello of 24/7 Sports. So looking forward to that as well. All right. 16-team SEC is our first go-round with it. What do you think about the tiers in the SEC? I think at the top, you have title contenders. Then you have playoff contenders, all right? Georgia, Texas, those are title contenders. And then Bama, Ole Miss, Missouri, maybe Tennessee, playoff contenders. I don't think they can win a national title, but that they can get into the playoff, right? Take the other side of the tiers. Obviously, Vanderbilt's kind of by themselves, right? I think Vanderbilt year in, year out, they're just going to always be by themselves. They have their own tier at the bottom. And I like Clark Lee, but I don't see him being the guy that digs them out of that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change anytime soon in the NIL era.
So now you have the next tier up. I think there's four teams in that. And unfortunately for Mississippi State fans, that's where Mississippi State is this year. And that's State, Florida, Arkansas, and I think you could put South Carolina there. Carolina is probably the best of that group. They are the one who has the best chance, I think, to maybe jump up a notch. But they are really unproven at quarterback, and they took a step back last year. They don't have a ton of talent. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But State's in that group. So I guess this is my question. In this year in the SEC, you know, how high can State go? How low can they go? You know, what's the likely middle? I think you and I agree the likely outcome for this season is 6-6. I feel like 5-7 is a lot more likely than 7-5. That's just my personal opinion. But I do think this year is going to be very similar to Mullen's first year, where you just watch them and you're like, gosh, they're a heck of a lot better than they were a year ago. They're just better coached. They'll get it going in the right direction. It's just not going to be this year. You know, just your overarching thought on this upcoming season and where Mississippi State stands in the SEC.
It's a very interesting conversation to be had when you talk about you're adding even more elite teams into an elite conference, and how does Oklahoma and Texas handle playing the gauntlet of the SEC pretty much every week? I mean, the Big 12 has had some ups, obviously, over the last few years, but there's also some teams in there that aren't very good. I think the SEC is stronger top to bottom than any conference in America. So it's going to wear on you, man. Like, you're going into these environments each and every week. You're playing teams that even, you know, some of the bad teams have three or four draft picks on them, you know. So how do those teams handle year one in the SEC? That's really my big question. As far as where State lands, they're probably – bottom tier in the SEC this year, especially. I just don't foresee the Bulldogs being able to contend week in and week out defensively. And that's going to be even tougher when you look at Texas's offense that you're going to go up against. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian's one of the best play callers in the business. He's got a great quarterback. He's got a lot of talent. So that's going to be even tougher. You have Texas on your schedule. So it's the schedule is going to be daunting for the Bulldogs. I still see them, bottom half of the league, bottom tier, at least this year. But like you said, I think it's definitely a team that you could say by the end of the year, man, they were close. We said that about that 2009 team, and they were, I think, last in the SEC West. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they were.
But
they were.
If you look back at their schedule, they had the toughest schedule in the country. They played two.
Be sure, but go ahead.
They played two top 25 non-conference teams, if I remember right, Houston and Georgia Tech.
Yes, correct.
And then they played Florida, who was the number one team in the country. They played Alabama, who was one or two. Ole Miss was a top 20 team. The schedule was brutal, and State was in most of those games. The Alabama game, no, but they're in that game. They're in the LSU game. They're in the Georgia Tech and Houston games. I think that this team could do kind of a similar job, and we're going into next season saying, man, Lebby has some good ingredients here. That's what I foresee from this team.
That 09 team, I mean, if you had anybody who had any competency making the schedules at that time, but they didn't because Larry Templeton was, that you easily go to a bowl game in Mullen's first year because you're not playing Georgia Tech and Houston too. I mean, Georgia Tech is a Power 5 program. That time you didn't have to play Power 5 programs. And Houston, everybody knew year in, year out was a really solid program at that time. No reason to be playing those teams, especially in year one of a head coach. And then, like you mentioned, the LSU game, State only lost by four. They had a lead in the Auburn game. That game got away from them there at the end. They had a lead in the Arkansas game. That game got away from them there in the end. And they end up beating a top 15 Ole Miss team, something like that. So, but like I said, the biggest difference was they just looked like a 2009 college football team was supposed to look, as opposed to the year before they looked like a 1987 college football team on the offensive side of the ball. And I think you're going to see that's something that it's going to jump out pretty early for Mississippi State fans this year, is that when you see this offense this year, you're going to say, okay, this is how when I watch college football on Saturday and I don't watch Mississippi State, this is what everybody else is doing. It's incredible how easy it's been to score 30 points per game in college football. 30 points per game, it's not even a ton of points anymore. When you think 20 years ago, 30 points per game, you were one of the top scoring teams in the country. Now you're going to be middle of the pack at 30 a game. And I feel like State's going to average relatively easily. But, defensively, yeah, we all know the questions that this team has defensively. But I feel like they can be carried at times by their offense if Lebby is able to do what he's been able to do every other stop he's been at prior to this. In that tier of the SEC, State will play two other of those other teams. And maybe, am I leaving Auburn out of this tier? Or is Auburn just a little bit ahead? They have a ton of talent, but they're just weak at quarterback.
Well, that's a huge piece. I think, the defense should be a little better. They got a good coordinator in there. They signed some really good wide receivers. They have skill guys, but I still feel like as the year goes on, we're going to be talking about, this guy's holding him back on offense, but maybe not. Maybe he jumps out and has, a Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow year or something. I don't know. I don't see it, but maybe he does. I mean, obviously Hugh Freeze is very confident in him for not going after another transfer quarterback, but until Auburn kind of gets back on track, I'm just going to consider them middle of the pack to towards the bottom right now.
I think defensively and offensively around Thorne, they have talent, but I don't know.
But here's the thing too, like
they
the
also
whole
play
year,
Auburn, they also play Georgia, Alabama, and Oklahoma. So it's tough.
But here's the thing too, the whole year people were complaining about the offensive play calling.
Yeah.
And how it didn't. So like Hugh Freeze was still not exactly killing it as a play caller. He wasn't getting the best out of his team on the offensive side of the ball. They were not good on offense.
No.
So, until he shows that he's, stepping forward, I don't even consider him one of the top play callers in the league right now. And his offense was really good at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And I thought it did some good things at Liberty, but it seems like he's kind of stuck in his ways and not willing to get out of it and not willing to work around the talent that he has. And that to me is always a bad sign. When head coaches that are calling plays just will not get away from what they do and they won't adjust to opposing defenses and stuff like that, that to me is not a good sign. We've seen that before here at Mississippi State. I would much rather have an offense like Jeff Lebby's and Lane Kiffin's and Steve Sarkisian's.
I'm trying to come up with these tiers as we're going here. I think I'm getting there. Let me see here.
Well, you got Georgia. You still got to keep Alabama in the top because
the way I have it set up, though, I don't think Alabama can win the national title this year. So I have it title contenders and then playoff contenders. Bama will be a playoff team. I don't have any doubt about that. But are they going to be number one?
I mean, they're still Bama, man. I mean, I could see them losing three games, and I could see them losing one or two. I mean, they have a really good head coach. They lost a lot of guys, and that's going to be kind of the main thing is
okay.
You've lost some talent. But, I mean, it's still Alabama, and you have a really good elite head coach.
I mean, I agree with all that. I don't see them winning the national title. That's how I'm kind of looking at it.
They wouldn't be one of my favorites. Yeah. I would still consider them like top half of the league, like good.
Oh, they're certainly top half.
Top tier. Yeah.
I don't know about that. That's
how many teams are in a tier? I was assuming four.
No. I have a total of six tiers. All right. So I got it figured out here. Here's my tiers. You tell me what you think. Georgia, Texas are the top tier. They are the top of the top.
These are national championship contenders.
They can win the national title this year.
Okay.
The next tier is teams that can make the playoff. I don't think they can win the national title. Bama, Ole Miss, Missouri, Tennessee.
Okay.
All right. The next tier is, I'm just calling it good teams. LSU and Texas A&M is where I have them right
now. All right.
All right. The next tier is maybe okay teams. Kentucky, Oklahoma, Auburn.
I'm good with that.
All right. The next tier is not great, can make a bowl. Carolina, State, Florida, Arkansas. And then Vandy's the
last. I might even push Arkansas with Vandy.
Arkansas could be in that tier. I really don't think – I don't have a lot of faith in Arkansas. Pittman has not shown me that he's a great coach. Once he – you know, he lost Briles and lost Odom. It got away from him. Petrino, eh. And then they don't exactly have elite talent at any position. So, yeah. I mean, Arkansas much closer to 16th than they are to 11th. We'll put it that way, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are my
teams. They're like teetering the fence there. They're like on the verge of being a bowl team, but also really bad.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you look at their schedule. We did them last week. We both had them 3-9. To be 6-6, they have to win at they have tough games on the road, right? Like at State, tough. At Auburn. They play Tennessee, they play LSU, they play Missouri, they play Ole Miss, they play Texas. I mean, it's really tough. That's a tough schedule. So, and then, you know, their non-conference game is Oklahoma State. I just don't know. State.
Yeah, that's Oklahoma State. That's going to be
that's a tough game.
That's a rough non-conference game.
Yeah. State this year, I think could, I'm trying to think. So I guess my question is this. This tier that Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Auburn in, can State be in that tier at the end of this season? And just for the record, I mean, none of those teams are on my list to have more than 8 wins. Give you a little preview of our predictions there.
I mean, ask me after like week 4. I just don't know, man. Like the offense, I thought looked really good in the spring game, just beyond the fact that they're playing a bad defense, just the whole concept of the offense, the execution of it, even when State had offenses that ended up being pretty good, mm-hmm. The spring game could get a little messy.
Yeah.
And this was one of the better spring games I can remember from an offensive flow standpoint. I don't remember a whole lot of, like, issues with the offense, false starts, and that might be the, you know, refereeing too, but, you know, holding penalties, you know, missed assignments, giving up sacks. Like the worst thing was they got a little loose at the goal line and fumbled the football.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I can live with that whenever you see 60-yard bombs, Blake Shapen's, you know, hitting guys in stride 50 yards down the field. It just – the offense looks really good. My question is, like, how good can they be? Because I think the defense is not going to be very good. So they're going to give up a lot of points. And if that's the case, you're going to need to score a ton of points.
Mm-hmm.
So can State do that in games against Texas and Georgia?
Let's have a little exercise. All right? So we're going to give away our Mississippi State predictions here, although I think you and I both said we think 6-6. Right?
Yeah.
Just give me a score. Ready? Eastern Kentucky.
That's 56-6.
Buddy, I'm going to go 73-7. I think
Levy's going to try to score as many points as possible.
Just absolutely show people as many touchdowns as he possibly can. All right. At Arizona State.
34-17.
I'm going 38-28.
Okay.
All right. State wins.
I don't know if that's going to inspire a lot of people. They go 28 to that team.
It won't, but it is what it is. How many did they give up to Arizona in 22?
16.
No, it's more than that. Why didn't they score?
Was it?
They were in the 20s, weren't they?
They scored a touchdown on the first possession.
I was only 17. No, you're right. You're correct.
Yeah.
You're correct. I'm gonna say 28. I'm gonna try to over under promise and over deliver. All right, Toledo.
42-14.
Something like that. That works. Okay. Florida.
Is that at home?
It's at State. Yeah.
Okay. 31-28.
I'm with you. Okay. Something along those lines. All right.
State wins.
Texas.
38-13, Texas.
I'm going something like 56-24. Texas is good, man. They're a good team. Guess what? At Georgia. Kind of the same, right?
That might be 56-10 or something.
State'll get some point. Let me ask you a question. In those two games,
Georgia's defense is probably going to be pretty good.
In those two games, can State have a game like Ole Miss had in 2020 against Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for.
And you can't really say, well, they were at home when they played Alabama. It was COVID. There was 10,000 people there.
Nobody cared either that they had given up like 60-something points.
Their fans were ecstatic. They were like, we went back and forth. We were in the game. You know, remember the year before they had lost like 65-10 or something, you know? So, okay, can you have a game like – can you just go back and forth and then they pull away and you lose – instead of 56-24, it's 56-38 or something like that.
Yeah.
State fans would be ecstatic if that happened.
Yeah. That'd be like when Tennessee scored a bunch of points against Alabama the year before they beat them.
Right, right. Texas A&M.
Trying to think, but A&M's probably going to have a good defense. I'll say 30-17 A&M.
I'm gonna say 41-28. I'm gonna bet low on the defense here.
Yeah.
Arkansas, I think State wins something like 35-24.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right. Maybe even hold them below that. I just don't think Arkansas is going to be very good. And I think by that point, you might even be firing Pittman.
Could be. Arkansas, their bye week is a week after that. So, UMass, they'll beat them like 48-14, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Tennessee at Tennessee. That's another one. I'm going to say like 49-24.
Yeah. State's might score 17-20. Yeah. Something like that.
Week off. Missouri at home, 40 or 38. They lose 38-28. How about that?
Yeah, I can go with that.
And then I'm not even going to try to get into the Egg Bowl. I'm just not. I have no idea.
Really don't. I mean, last year
State, exactly.
State held their offense down most of the game, and they've done that many times. I just, you know, it just doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, so I'm not going to try to make a prediction there. So just some early thoughts on that team and where they might end up. So we'll talk. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot more about it as we go along. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So, you know, put some on there. Go grab some steaks, grab some burgers, or do it up big with a brisket, a tri-tip, a picanha. You got a lot of options when you go with beef. If you're looking for tailgating and grilling recipes, they're available to you at msbeef.org, the Mississippi Beef Council website, plus a lot of other great information about our beef providers here in the state of Mississippi. Beef, it is what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked Southern soul food. When you want to eat out in Starkville, if you're going to have a great time, I can't recommend Two Brothers enough. I tell everybody about that place, and everybody comes back and tells me, great choice, great job. Also want to recommend the older brother. My oldest daughter, Aislinn, went to the older brother today. She wanted to take a friend there because she was so excited we got to go to that soft open. She had never heard of anything like that. She's like, wait a minute, we got invited to come eat here? I was like, yeah. So she didn't know how to handle that. So, but she was really impressed with the food there, and she's a picky eater. So I was glad she enjoyed it. But the older brother is a place I think you guys will enjoy to find sandwiches in a bistro atmosphere at the older brother, and of course, smoked Southern soul food over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they have been doing it for 49 years. When you are looking for technology for your business, give them a call. They have the best name brands. They have great prices. They'll get you set up. But the best part of all is when something goes wrong with that machine, and it's a machine, things are going to go wrong, you just have to give them a call. You're talking to the same people who made you the sale, not a 1-800 number, not a long, drawn-out time on the phone, not an appointment you got to set up for a week to 10 days from now. Because they're in Mississippi, they can help you a lot of times the exact same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game, you need to go to Maroon & Co. And hey, if you like saving money, and look, Father's Day is coming up. Dads love saving money. They're all about saving money. So here's what you do. Go to Maroon & Co. Get Dad a brand new polo, new t-shirt, maybe something for the grill, some sort of MSU-themed grill stuff. They've got that. Use the promo code THUNDER15, and when you do, you're going to get 15% off any regular price item. Some exclusions do apply. So not only are you going to tell Dad, hey, I got you this cool gift, but I saved you money, that will bring, we talked yesterday about the single manly tier. There you go. Dad will be like, so proud of you. So before you go to the game, the next time you're in Starkville, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Robbie, the portal has opened up for Mississippi State baseball. Obviously, a lot of people are already in the portal at other programs, but now that state season's over, it's starting up here, and we had two names go in today. I believe you reported on those guys earlier.
Yep. We knew that this was going to start happening for Mississippi State. I guess like exit interviews and all are happening right now. They didn't have anybody enter on Tuesday, but it's beginning here on Wednesday as we speak. Left-handed pitcher Cole Cheatham entered the portal on Tuesday morning, and also right-handed pitcher Logan Forsythe. A couple of guys that were used, you know, sparingly. Cole Cheatham more than Forsythe. Forsythe had a lot of talent with the right arm, just never really put it together the last couple of years. Cheatham was kind of like a matchup guy, and you know, kind of facing one guy. I'm sure that got to be kind of mundane for him and tough, but he's going to be looking for a new spot. Same for Logan Forsythe. That's all they got so far, but I imagine more are going to be on the way.
Yeah, certainly not going to be the only two to go in. from a pitching perspective, yeah, it's so interesting, right, that State's bullpen was not great this year, and yet so few guys were able to make any kind of impact. So I expect to see a lot of guys out of that group hit the portal. And then it's just going to be interesting. You know, we've talked about some of these younger players. Are they going to stick around? You know, I mean, if you're a coach and you're thinking about the portal, you have to balance that with, you know, are younger guys going to stick around? And, you know, who knows the answer to that question? A player like Jackson McKenzie or Steven Spilletta or Michael O'Brien might decide that, you know, the pastures are greener elsewhere, especially if State is able to bring in some guys at their position. Spilletta as a catcher, you know, going to be behind Ross Heitfeld. If Joe Powell comes back for another year, he's going to be behind him as well. Again, not saying I've heard anything, just trying to think this out logically. Guys going in, we're starting to get those reports now. Feels like this weekend we might hear about some guys coming to Mississippi State. Maybe not committing, but at least visiting this week.
Yeah, I imagine they're going to have visits over the next few days and kind of start that process. They've already reached out to a lot of guys over the first few days of the portal because they know how big this offseason is. So I imagine you'll start to see probably have already started setting up visits and getting guys in here. It's just so hard, man, to get a grasp on who they're after, who's coming in on visits, because we've talked about it. They just don't let that stuff out of the offices.
Right.
You physically have to see a lot of these guys visiting. So it's going to be hard to truly know who's visiting, who's about to commit, stuff like that. So
I'm just saying, like, Friday, Saturday, you just want to, like, you know, go get a cooler and order a couple of pizzas, and we can just pull up a chair right there in front of Diddy Noble and see what happens.
I think the place to go is Two Brothers.
Yeah, you might be right. That's the place to go anyway. But if we can eat good food and get scoops, I think we should maybe want to check that out. So we'll see.
That's right.
We talked on when you weren't here. Grace and I talked about this, that, you know, Chris Lemonis, I think you and I both know he's more of an older school kind of coach. The portal really isn't where he wants to recruit, but he certainly understands that he has to recruit there this year. From a personality standpoint and a demeanor standpoint, do you think Lemonis can be like a Lane Kiffin in the portal? Do you think he has that ability?
I mean, honestly, Lane Kiffin is kind of a, like, worst personality in person.
Yeah.
Like, if you see him, when you get him, like, in one-on-one setting, I mean, he's really not that.
He's boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, social media Lane and regular Lane are two different people.
Right. And the key, too, is having people around you that can do a lot of that stuff, too. You know, there's a lot of people at Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin that are doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and he just kind of comes in and seals the deal. And he's also set, you know, the standard being the coach and having the offense that he runs. But, you know, for Chris Lemonis, I mean, the biggest selling point is showing the kid what he's going to be playing in front of. Do you want to come play at the best stadium in college baseball or what? It's a lot easier sell than you think. So balancing that and, you know, the NIL portion of things is kind of what he has in front of him. But when you're going to be fishing in the big ponds that Mississippi State is for these guys, you're going to have to sell something that a lot of them don't have. And, you know, going up against LSU and teams like that, it might get tough. He's going to have, you know, something different to sell. And I think that this year, that is probably Justin Parker. When you're talking to pitchers, he didn't have that last year. I mean, pretty much the only thing he could sell last year was, you're going to have more playing time. You know, we can give you some NIL money and also the stadium. That was pretty much the extent of it. But now Justin Parker has the resume that he can put out there. Look at Cal Stevens' numbers at Purdue and look what he did here. Look at Gerangelo's numbers last year. Look what he did here. Look at Tyler Davis. Look at Tyson Harden. He's got plenty of information and data to show some of those pitchers of what he can do for them from a developmental standpoint.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how it goes this year, because the last 2 years, it's been the sort of the bridesmaid, not the bride, right? You finished second on three players that would have absolutely changed your fortunes. with Skeens, with Holman. I mean, if you had Holman and Montgomery on this year's team, I don't have any qualms saying that they'd still be playing baseball. There's no question about that to me. So they've got to find a way to close those deals up, and at the same time, find some guys like Kyle Steven that, you know, maybe a little undervalued that you can turn into top tier players. So a lot of work to do for Chris Lemonis, but it's starting now. It's starting as we speak for that program. All right. Tomorrow's show, we'll talk some more football on tomorrow's show. We'll figure out a topic or two there, maybe some recruiting, something like that. Well, we haven't talked about the here's where we're going to go tomorrow, Robbie. For years, Mississippi State has focused on the summer in recruiting. That's when they've done the majority of their work. This year, we've seen a change in philosophy from Mississippi State. You know, the camps that are not as loaded with the top targets as they've been in years past. We'll discuss that a little bit and talk about whether how we feel about that thought process from Jeff Levy and staff. So that'll be a focus on tomorrow's show. Guys, have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Hey, Dad, thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.